This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
We're on Joy 94.9, your gay and lesbian radio station, the Hump Day Crew, here every Wednesday morning.
Well, let me go on with this. Once upon a time, there was a lady named Holly, and Holly met the love of her life. He was perfect, and they had magical time together. He also happened to be very wealthy, and encouraged Holly to give up her job as he could support her. But then, his wife found out and put a stop to it all, leaving Holly without a source of income. So when her friend asked her what she was going to do next, what did they come up with? She decided to become a sugar babe and furthermore, write a book about it.
Joining us on the line right now is the author of that book, Holly Hill. Thank you very much for joining us on the Hump Day Crew this morning.
Thank you very much for having me. It's nice to be here.
Now, for those that haven't read Sugar Babe, tell us how did you get into this fiasco or this opportunity even?
Yeah, it was very, my friend, you know, it was a gay man actually, and he suggested quite jokingly at first really that I put an ad on the internet and find myself a sugar daddy. I was quite offended at first and, you know, and said, look, you're suggesting I become a sex worker. And but when I actually followed through with the exercise, I guess I developed an enormous respect for people that are sex workers, and that I would be proud to call myself such a thing these days, although perhaps it may not fit strictly the definition in that I was promising exclusivity and that I wanted one man, and I would be available to him 24/7 for a weekly fee.
Now, I noticed as I was reading through the book, I actually thought that the guys would stick around a bit longer, but they tended to only last a few weeks or so. Did that surprise you?
It surprised me enormously, and it's something that I've discussed with a lot of my male friends since, because, you know, I thought that I was offering them really, you know, the ultimate, and most people came up with the reason that, you know, I was kind of regarded as almost like a holiday, you know, as a treat, and that, you know, if they wanted the types of services I was providing, that they could get, you know, themselves a full-time girlfriend or a wife, and that I guess I was regarded as you know, a treat for a couple of weeks, and that, you know, too much of a good thing was possibly a bad thing.
you were sort of almost like a temp, almost, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so, yeah. The gentleman I ended up with would possibly have gone long-term, but in many ways I'm kind of glad it didn't work out like that, because I perhaps would still be doing it and I wouldn't have written such an interesting book.
Sure. Now, you also explore the institution of marriage quite a lot throughout Sugar Babe. What's your feelings with marriage? And do you feel it kind of needs to be revised?
Absolutely. You know, I make a comment in the book, you know, I know that, you know, my gay friends and lesbian friends are very much into, you know, trying to achieve, you know, same-sex marriages. And I always say, look, guys, you're underachieving. You know, why on earth would you want an institution that has a 52% divorce rate? And, you know, my opinion of traditional marriage is that, you know, we have to change the recipe. The recipe is failing. And, you know, if we don't change the recipe, it's going to continue to fail. And one way of doing this is to negotiate some infidelity, and the expectations of lifetime sexual exclusivity are not only terribly naive, they go totally against men in particular's biology. I mean, men are hardwired to you know, to seek multiple partners, and to for one woman to expect him to remain sexually exclusive to her for the term of his natural life is quite ridiculous, really.
And something else you talk about as well is that women, after a while, they tend to, I guess, after they've been married for a while, they don't put out as much. And you've got a bit of a penis theory to do with why they don't.
Yeah. Oh, dear, I hope you're not going to ask me to repeat it. I always get the numbers mixed up.
But
I say that the average penis is about, you know, 15 centimetres long, and that the average sexual session is probably 100 thrusts of that penis, so that you've got what, about 1,500 centimetres there times, you know, three times a week times, you know, a couple of times a couple of weeks a month times a year, and you kind of end up with about 4 kilometres of the same penis. And what I suggest is, you know, the same thing over and over again becomes repetitive after a while. It's no wonder women are kind of crossing their legs a couple of years into their marriages.
Holly, being a gay woman, I kind of haven't really explored the penis theory, but what have you learnt from your gay friends about relationships?
I guess it's one of the big things is the sexual exclusivity thing. I guess I've had very different lessons off men and women. I suspect that two lesbians are perhaps the only combination of genders that could make lifetime sexual exclusivity work, given our natural, our hard wiring.
You reckon?
Yeah. Ooh. absolutely, because women are, you know, our hard wiring, unfortunately, is the whole Darwin thing of the nesting, although there is a strong 7-year itch that they're starting to explore in scientific studies now. But I guess that's probably the main things about how to have relationships. And because gay and lesbians haven't had to follow traditional roles, they have been able to explore areas that have been stigmatised by your general society. And they've discovered that, you know, the general society is naive. You know, they've blindly followed what is stigmatised and what is not, and haven't sought the answers for themselves.
Now, following Sugar Babe, your gay friends got you into a bit more trouble because you've gone and done another book now, which is called Toy Boy. Tell us about Toy
absolutely.
Boy.
Yeah, Toy Boy was a very interesting experiment. What I did is I decided to turn the tables on myself, really, and rather than my advertising for Sugar Daddy, I advertised on the internet for a Toy Boy. And it was quite an extraordinary learning experience, I guess, about myself and perhaps about women, generally, in that I found it was very difficult to break out of my conditioning and, one, pay a man for sex, and, two, I guess, treat him like a sex worker, in inverted commas. I found myself, instead of being pampered, I was doing the pampering. Instead of learning perhaps some sexual techniques and so on, I was doing the teaching. I almost, and I hate to say this, fought kind of the mother role perhaps, because the young man in question was a lot younger than I was. And it was an extraordinary learning experience, and one I didn't particularly enjoy. If it boiled down to it, I think I would prefer to be a sugar babe than a sugar mum, if you had to choose. The way to say it. Yeah.
Now, have you got any other experiments in mind for another book?
Yeah, absolutely. The third book, which I'm working on at the moment, is very much about women. And I, from these years, I firmly believe that monogamy is what makes women vulnerable, and that in order to become equal, I guess, in general society to men, that we have to give up monogamy. And when you think about it, if a woman is permitting her husband or her boyfriend to have sex with certain people, then she has a lot more power, because sex is a very powerful thing, than if she's just not letting him have any sex with any other people. So what I'm doing is I'm exploring what I call naughty feminism, which is the empowerment of women through the relinquishment of monogamy.
Very interesting. And when's that book due out?
Well, I'm working on it now, and I suspect it'll be due out sometime next year. So I've kind of yet to kind of dot the I's and cross the T's, but now, hopefully sometime next year.
When you say you're working on it, are you going to a lot of swingers parties? Or?
Yeah, I do. I go to a lot of different parties. I guard myself as bisexual, so I'm having a lot of relationships with women and couples. So that I guess I'm at the stage where I'm thoroughly enjoying the research.
Excellent.
Well, Holly, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to us today.
Thank you for having me.
It sounds like your change of occupation has become it's a lifestyle, definitely, isn't it?
I guess it is a lifestyle. although, the authors in Australia don't really get to give up their day jobs yet. So, I've still got the day job and on top of everything else. So, it gets quite difficult at times.
I can imagine. Well, thank you very much for having a chat to us today.
Thank you for having me.
There you go. That is Holly Hill. She's an Australian author. She's based in Sydney. You can grab her two first books that are out now. Sugar Babe is a great read, and I'm just nearly finished Toy Boy as well, so get hold of both of them and have a good read. They're really easy reads and very entertaining. It's not just a story, but it gets your brain ticking as well.
And look out for the third in the trilogy, Share Your Misses, or whatever it's going
to
be called.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Have to wait and see.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.